And we trust this morning that you've come seeking to hear from the Lord something that the Lord has for you, and that you'll be obedient unto the Lord and let Him just speak to your heart and life the things that you need. You know, He speaks life to us, and He speaks hope to us, and He speaks joy to us if we'll allow Him to. Amen. We miss out on so many of these great blessings because we don't allow Him to speak to us by His Spirit and through His Word. Amen. And if you'll just give Him your undivided attention this morning, it don't matter how poorly the preacher preaches. Amen. If the Spirit speaks to your heart, He'll erase all that and He'll just change everything and make it the sweetest thing that you ever heard. In Luke chapter number 1, if you found Luke 1, we'd invite you to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin reading in verse number 26. The Bible says in Luke 1:26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? I preached to you this morning just a thought that God had gave me as we were studying and preparing and thinking and pondering upon the service today. And he gave me this thought. You know, we preach about mothers and different mothers, and on Mother's Day we try to preach a message. We try to preach what God wants us to, and we try to gear to moms, that if that's not where He takes us, that's not where we go. But this morning, that's where He's allowed us to be. But I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, a mother like God chose for His Son. You know, if each of us would live our lives like the mother that God chose for His Son, what a difference it would make in our lives. And what a difference it would make in moms to be a mother like God chose for His Son. Amen. What a difference Christians would be if we would live our lives as Christians like God chose the mother, the character of Mary, and the way that she lived her life and dealt in things that she dealt with, the way that she dealt with them as she dealt with her son Jesus. Now, we know her son was different than any other son. Amen. Her son presented more unique opportunities, more unique difficulties, more unique problems than any other son or any other child ever could. But nonetheless, she was the mother that God had chosen. And just some things that the Bible tells us about her that we want to look at this morning. I'm thankful that God uses ordinary people and God chooses ordinary people. You don't have to be some kind of extraordinary individual for God to use mightily to His glory and to His honor. Look at the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had an infirmity in the flesh. And some say it was his eyesight, and some say it was this, and some say it was that. I don't know. I kind of think Paul may have had a speech impediment, because he talks in 2 Corinthians how they talk of his speech. They make fun of his speech, and how they are criticizing the way that he speaks. Paul was just an ordinary man, but he was used of God mightily in a way that most men would just envy to be used. We see the Apostle Peter. He was just an ordinary man, a fisherman by trade, a brisque and a burly and a brusque man. But God used him mightily. And when he was brash in the things that he did and brash in the statements that he would make and the actions that he took, it didn't matter. God still used him mightily for his glory. We can look in the Old Testament and we see Abram as God chose him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Why did he choose Abram? He was nothing special. God just chose him. Amen. God purposed through him. It had to be somebody. Why not him? Amen. And God wants to do something in America today. God wants to do something in your community today. God wants to do something in your house today. And it don't take anybody special. It just takes you being willing to do what God wants you to do. He don't need exceptionalism. He's the one that's exceptional. He's the one that can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. We just got to be willing to let him do it. Amen. So let's look at Mary for just a few minutes and see some things that the Bible tells us about Mary that helps us to understand how we can be better Christians and how we can be better moms, maybe even better fathers, amen, better at everything that we do if we'll just follow her example, amen. Look at what she said right here in verse number 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Mary was committed. She was a committed mother. Amen. She didn't understand what God was going to do. She understood what the angel told her, but I don't believe she totally and fully comprehended how all this was going to take place. And she said, "How can this be?" And the angel said, "Well, what's impossible with men is impossible with men, but nothing's impossible to God." Amen. But she was committed nonetheless to what God had set her to. You know, motherhood was an institution that God had brought into existence. We go all the way back into Genesis chapter number 1. And the Bible tells us that God created male and female, and he told them, he created man and woman, male and female, in his own likeness, in his own image, and he told them to be fruitful and to multiply. Motherhood was instituted of God there in the garden, and God was willing to use Mary for his purpose and for his special purpose, a purpose beyond what she could even imagine. And irregardless of what it was going to be, Mary says, "Be it unto thy handmaid according to thy word." Whatever it was that God wanted to do, she wanted to be willing to do it. Later on down in verse 46 and 49, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth shall all the generations call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." In Jeremiah, God said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Mary's conception was immaculate, but praise God, every child that comes, every child that is born is a gift of God, amen, that is given. But every calling of God, every office that he gives, whether it's motherhood, whether it's fatherhood, whether it's serving in your church, whether it's serving in your community, whether it's living a Christian life before a lost and a dying world, it's ordained of God, and we ought to commit ourselves unto doing what God wants us to do. Amen. How God wants us to do it. Amen. If we will learn just to trust him, amen, if we'll learn just to commit our ways unto him, if we'll learn just to submit ourselves unto him. Mary, she didn't have anything and wasn't anybody anyway. But none of us are. Everything that we have of God. You got abilities. You got knowledge. You got understanding. You got that. It's a gift of God. The only thing that you have that you can give God is you. The only thing that he won't take, the only thing that he won't force, The only thing that he won't demand of you and make you do against your will is submit and surrender yourself unto him. Amen? Am I preaching truth or not? Amen? The only thing that you can do is just what Mary did. Be it unto me. Let me be what God wants me to be. Let me do what God wants me to do. Mom, if you'll be the mom that God wants you to be, you'll be the best mom that ever was. You might not be the richest mom. You might not be the most popular mom. Amen? You might not be the mom that everybody thinks what a mom should be. But if you're the mom that God wants you to be, you'll be the best mom that ever was. Amen? Because you've committed yourself. Christian, if you'll just be the Christian that God wants you to be. Amen? Stop worrying about what religion wants you to be. Stop worrying about what society wants you to be. Commit yourself unto the Lord. Commit your ways unto him. The Bible tells over in Proverbs that we commit our ways unto him. Amen? Amen? We commit our ways unto him. That's where we find the blessings. Amen? That's where we find the peace. That's where we find the joy, is when we submit ourselves unto him. Mary said, I'm committed. Mary said, I'm in this thing. Mary said, I don't know why, but he's esteemed me, and I'm going to go with it. And praise God. If we would just take that attitude as God's people, as God's children, I'm his. I'm chosen of him. I'm chosen by him and for him and because of him, and I'm going to do what he wants me to do. We'll be the best individuals that we could be, irregardless of who we are. Look in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. We see the Christmas story, the birth story of Jesus. We've got the angels singing and the host of heaven singing and just honoring the birth of Jesus. We got the shepherds that have been in the field keeping watch over their flocks at night, and they've come to see all that the angels have told them was going to transpire and taking place, and they come and they found Mary and the baby wrapped there in swaddling clothes, just like the angels had said that they would find. And when they came, they must have told Mary all that had happened and all that was going on. Mary's heart was just overwhelmed. Mary's heart was just thrilled, and the Bible says in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary, just like any other mother, looked at her baby. Mary, just like any other mother, heard all the things that people would tell. You know, you ever see a baby's born, and my wife will say, he looks just like this. And I said, how can you say that kid looks just like somebody? That baby looks just like a baby. The face is all mashed up. Just as soon as they're born, she's like, oh, he looks just like him. I said, give it some time, woman. Amen. Give it a little bit of time. But everybody says, oh, well, they'll be this and they'll be that. And I have no doubt in my mind. I've seen Bethany on Facebook. I have no doubt in my mind. She's already got plans. She's already got dreams for her child. She's already pondering her baby's life. Amen. Just like most moms do. You look at your little baby and you begin to ponder, what's going to become of my child? What's my baby going to grow up to be? What's my baby going to grow up to be? Do you know some moms have held babies that have grown up to be great generals? Amen. Moms have held babies in their arms that have grown up to be great kings. Amen. Great leaders, great conquerors. Not many moms, and I won't say all, but not many moms look at their child and say, he's not going to be anything. He's not going to be much. They might look at their child and say, he's never going to have much because I don't have much. But moms, they look at their child with anticipation. Mary was a dreamer. Mary was a looking. She's pondering all that she'd heard and all that she'd been told, all these things in her heart, and she was just excited about what was going to happen. And I tell you what, when moms quit getting excited about what's going to happen in their children's life, they cease to be the mom that they need to be. Amen. Amen? But Christian, do you know when we Stop getting excited about what Jesus has promised us. When we stop getting excited about what heaven holds for us, when we stop getting excited about what Jesus has done for us, amen? Y'all ain't excited. I told y'all one time, a lady left here, she told me, says, you're a good preacher, but that's the deadest bunch of people I've ever seen. Sometimes I'm starting to think she's right. Amen? Not tooting my own horn here, but my lands, the truth, stand when the world's on fire. I don't know about you, but I'm a no good, dirty, filthy, sneaking, rotten, low down sinner that deserves to be in hell with my back broke, but Jesus saved me. Amen? I got something to get excited about. Amen. I got something to ponder. I don't have to go to a place called hell. I've got a home prepared for me in glory. And praise God, one day I'm going there. I'm going there and I've got family that's there and all that. And that's all well and good. But praise God, one day I'm going to go see my Jesus that died for me. One day I'm going to go worship Him in person. I'm going to see Him face to face, Brother Rick. I ain't going to have to be restrained by this old flesh that can't get out what I want to get out. And praise God, I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll's caught up yonder. Amen. And I tell you what, we need to let a little bit of it happen down here. We need to let a little bit of it happen on this side of eternity. We need to let the world see that there's something worth getting excited about because we're a dreamer. Call me a dreamer because I call it. I can't sing this morning. I can't. My throat's just shot. I can't sing it. Amen. But call me gone. Anybody ever heard that song? Amen. Anybody ever call me gone? I tell you what, one day He's going to call my name, and praise God, you can call me gone. One day I'm going to hear a trumpet sound if I live long enough to be here when the rapture takes place, and the world's going to look around, and they can call me gone. Amen. One day friends and family are going to say, what happened to him? Where did he go? I just look at him and tell him, I just call him gone. He's done went home. They say, well, where's home? He's went to the other side. Amen. He's took that journey. He's took that trip. The Apostle Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. Praise God, my departure might be at hand any day now. I don't know when, but when it comes, I'm ready to go. And you know what? I think about that sometimes. I'm a dreamer. Amen. You ever think about heaven? Man, I've had so many things going wrong lately. This breaking down, that breaking down. This one getting sick, that one sick, this one dying, this one had another friend died, well, their father died. I knew the father. I'm got another funeral to go to. It's a viewing today in Ephrata or a funeral tomorrow, you know, in Little Britain, trying to decide which to go to. But just always something. And yesterday, I was just in there, I just getting in one of them little self-pity. I was working on something and things should be going right. Working on something else that had went wrong. Amen. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, God, do you just hate me? I was asking him that. You ever watch Fiddler on the Roof? Uh-huh. What did he do? He talked to God, did he? Did he not? God, I like that movie. Amen. And I said, God, do you just hate me sometimes? Amen. I did. I'm being honest with you. I'm no different. I'm no different than anybody else. Every time I think I'm getting ahead, things starting to look up, things starting to pick up, something else happens. I wonder sometimes, God, do you just hate me? And then I start thinking about all that He's done for me. And then I just started thinking about all that He's given me. I just start thinking about all the blessings He's bestowed upon me. I just start thinking about all the times that I was low and He brought me high. All the times when I was hurting and He took the pain away. All the times when I was overwhelmed and praise God I made it through because He carried the burden for me. I just started thinking about all the goodness of God and praise God. Pretty soon I wasn't asking Him, did He hate me and was He just against me? Praise God. I was thanking Him for blessing me. I was thanking Him for being with me. I was thanking Him for being for me. I was thanking Him because He was my God. And because of Him, I have hope. Because of Him, I have life. Because of Him, I have peace and joy, irregardless of what's going on around me. Because it's all about Him anyway. Amen. It doesn't hurt to do a little dreaming sometimes. It takes you out of the reality. Amen. Of the place that the devil has brought us to. Mary, she was a dreaming mother. If Christians would just get to dreaming a little more about what God's got for them and done for them and be reminded of how good he is to them, I praise God, it would sure change your outlook. It would sure change my attitude yesterday afternoon. Amen. I tell you what, I'm thankful that I got a God that loves me like he does. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse number 48. And Jesus is with his mother and father as they go to Jerusalem, as they get up there in Jerusalem, and they're worshiping, they're fulfilling their obligation. He's just a young child. He's a young boy, and in some things around 12 years old. I forget how old he was, but it don't really matter. The thing of it is, when they left, they thought Jesus was in the crowd. Amen. They thought Jesus was there, and they got a day's journey away from Jerusalem. And got to looking for Jesus. And Jesus wasn't there. Jesus was missing. Can you imagine them going to their friends and their neighbors? Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Man, my granddaughter, Courtney, is a germaphobe. And I tease her. I had that little boy the other day. I got him. Anybody see my pictures on Facebook? I got him. I took him right out in the pig pen. He loves the pigs. Hey, man. And he loves it when they come right up to him. And then, man, he gets all tickled and excited. And he'll start giggling and laughing. He'll reach out and pet them. And he'll touch them. And he's not afraid of them in the least. And she said, "You ain't letting him touch them things, are you?" I said, "Yeah, look at it." And he loves it. Hey, man. Oh, he's going to get sick. He ain't going to get sick, Courtney. He needs to get some germs. And then he walked around and he stepped in a little bit of pig poo. And I picked his shoe up. I said, "Look at that. She throwed her shoes away, I think." Hey, man. They're looking at a house we was over the other day. It's got a big old hill down the back of it. I said, "Colton, come here, buddy." I went over to the house. "Let me show you how to have fun." I laid down on that hill and I rolled down that hill. I mean, it's a steep one. I said, "Come on, buddy." "No, no." Amen. She's a worrying mom. Amen. And I set her in a fit. Amen. But guess what? Mary was a worrying mom too. Amen. Mary was concerned when she couldn't find Jesus. Man, when Colton sees me, he comes a-running, man. I'm his favorite. I don't care. My great mom can tell you. She thought he was coming to her one day. She had her arm around. He runs right past her. He runs to me because, man, we have fun. Hey, man. We have fun. But they still worry when he's with me. Hey, man. What's he going to get him into next? What's going to happen next? I don't know. But it's going to be fun. Hey, man, I can guarantee you that. We're going to have a ball. Amen. But when your baby's missing, mm-hmm. When your baby's in trouble, when your baby's away from you, when your baby is going through something, mama's worry. Mm-hmm. Amen. My mother-in-law was the biggest worry wart that ever was. She worried about all her kids. She worried about all her grandkids and the great-grandkids. She's one of the greatest Christian women I ever knew, but one of the biggest worry warts that ever was. And I said, "Dorothy, you got to quit worrying so much. You got to trust the Lord." She says, "I do. I do. But I worry about them enough that I want to keep them before the Lord. I worry about them enough. I'm going to take them to Jesus." Mary and Joseph looked off. They had to go back a day's journey. And then when they got back to Jerusalem, they had to look around and they found Jesus. And the Bible says there in verse number 48, chapter 2, verse number 48, I think it is. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto them, "Son, why hast thou dealt dealt those with us. And thy father and thy mother have sought thee sorrow in. Amen. Praise God. If Christians would realize that sometimes we lose Jesus. Jesus never loses us. Amen. But sometimes we lose. I preached a message on that a while back. Y'all remember that? Losing Jesus. It's easy to lose him. It's real easy to lose him. But when you lose him, do you get worried? When you lose him, do you get concerned? When you lose him and you don't feel that sweet spirit, you don't feel that sweet fellowship that you was feeling before, do you get concerned about it? Do you want to do something about it? Mary and Joseph, man, they knew right away something was wrong and something needed to be dealt with. And praise God, they traveled a day's journey back to make sure. I know a couple people that have left kids. I know missionaries that have left kids and had to go back and get them. They're on the road and they stop at to get gas or something. And when the kids get out of the car to go to the bathroom and they didn't know it, and they get on down the road and find out 10, 15, 20 miles down the road, they finally realize that one of the kids is missing, and the world goes into a panic. All of a sudden, I've had two or three of them tell me that they've left kids. Hey, man, it's happened. And they get into a panic. But do we get in a panic when we don't have that sweet fellowship of the Spirit any longer? Do we get into a panic when we've lost Jesus? We've lost touch. We've lost fellowship. Amen. Do we take that as seriously, as earnestly? We should. When moms quit worrying about their kids just go on off and do whatever they want to do, live however they want to live. I see a bunch of them. Seems like, I don't know. Sometimes you see moms that don't want a mom. Mothers that don't want a mother. They don't want to be bothered. They're not concerned. We've let a one-eyed monster raise a couple of generations. And we wonder what's happening in our world and in our society. They quit worrying about their children. They don't have enough concern about them to be engaged and be involved, to be aware of where they are at and what they're doing. But we're the same way with Jesus sometimes. Amen. We just take it for granted. Well, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. Everything's going to be all right. I don't need to worry about anything. And that's the preacher's job, and that's the deacon's job, and that's the Sunday school. Oh, so-and-so, it's somebody, anybody. I got that in my Bible here somewhere. I keep it in here. I don't know. Yeah, check on that track, Sister Connie. Anybody, somebody, you know which one I'm talking about. Hey, man, that's a good track. Everybody thinks everybody else is taking care of it. Somebody thought everybody was going to do it, and everybody thought somebody was doing it, but it ends up, you go through the whole thing, nobody was doing anything. Yep. Why? Because they quit worrying about it, because they just took it for granted. We need to be like Mary. We need to stay engaged with Jesus. We need to stay engaged with our children. We need to stay engaged with our church family. We need to stay engaged with what God wants us to do, because it's real easy. It's very, very easy to get calloused. It's very easy just to lose heart and to lose that special feeling, that special presence. It doesn't come all at once. It's just like addiction. If the devil showed you right in the front of your life what addiction was going to be and where addiction was going to take you, you would never have went there. I don't care whether it's drug addiction, alcohol addiction, gambling addiction, sex addiction, coffee addiction, sports addiction, work addiction. I don't care what it is. I've never sat at the bedside of someone who's dying, irregardless of what age they were, and heard him say, "Man, I wish I'd have done more drugs. Man, I wish I'd have drank more alcohol. Man, I wish I'd have ate wrong and drank wrong and lived wrong all my life. I wished I'd have worked more." I've never been one person's deathbed where they said they wish they had put more time in, wish they'd worked more. All these things become unimportant when we realize the weight they have compared to Jesus. But the devil doesn't throw it all on you at one time. He just piles it a little. He starts addiction one little bit at a time, no matter what it is. No matter what it is. And pretty soon it's consumed you. Look in Matthew chapter 12, verses. All right, let's go to John first. John chapter 2. Need to hurry along here. John chapter 2. "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." You know what Mary was? Mary was a proud mama. Mary was proud of her boy. Mary was proud of her child. Amen. And she knew that he was special. Amen. She knew that he could do special things. I tell you what, I know some proud mamas in here. Amen. I know there's some proud mamas in here. Your kids are our greatest. Everyone else's kids are down here. Yours is up here. Amen. Your kid does the same thing anybody else's kid does, and it's insignificant. Somebody else's kid does it, well, they need to be kicked through the goalpost of life. Because your kids are special. I know you. I've listened to you. Amen. I've heard you. Y'all the same way. Every one of you. Amen. My kids, it's different. My kids, different. It's good to be proud of your kids. Amen. It's good to let them know that you're proud of them. And just like any other kid, mom's trying to push them along. My mom always wanted me to be in, man, she wanted me to get, I hate church programs. I hated being in plays, programs, anything. And my mom always wanted me to be in that. I don't want to. And I wouldn't. Man, they'd get me in there. I'd stand there. Wouldn't do nothing. What she was proud of, I don't know, but she was proud. Mama's pushing her kids on up. Kids said, no, I don't want mom, I don't want to. Man, I got a couple like that. I got some kids in our church like that. I'm proud of them. Amen. They just need a little goad every now and then. Amen. We got some that sing now because we're proud of them and we goaded them along. Jesus said, Man, it's not my time. Mary said, Man, whatsoever he say to you, you do it. Amen. Amen. Whatsoever he says, she didn't even give him the option. Whatsoever he says to do, you do it. Amen. And you know what? If we'll do whatsoever he says, amen, we'll find out that we find blessings in our life. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about getting rich. And I'm not talking about not having. But I tell you what, just the blessing of knowing where he wants us to be. Yes. Amen. The problem with Christians are so many of us are ashamed of Jesus. Amen. He loved us enough to leave the glory world to come and die on an old rugged cross, to deliver us from a place called hell, to give us hope, to give us help, to give us strength for the journey that we're in. Amen. He never said our life was going to be without trial. Matter of fact, he said just the opposite. They preach that and they try to teach that. But Jesus himself said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Hallelujah, I've overcome the world. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad that when I walk with him, I'm glad that when I'm where he wants me to be, he says, if I take my yoke upon him, it's light. Amen. I don't have to worry about it. He said, whoever is ashamed of me in this world, I'll be ashamed of him when I stand before my Father. You know what? I was born a Gilbert. I'll die a Gilbert. I'll be a Gilbert from cradle to the grave. There's nothing I can do about that. Amen. I'm proud to be a Gilbert because that's what I am. Amen. Now, my wife was born a Sexton. She became a Gilbert when she married me. And she'll die a Gilbert. And guess what? She's proud to be a Gilbert. Amen. You shake your head. Amen. Amen. Because that's what she is. Amen. She can try to make it like she was something else, and, you know, like some of you women, ashamed of who you are. I like to aggravate them. She's not Deborah Sexton Gilbert. She's Deborah Gilbert. She's not half ashamed of me. Of who she become. She's a Gilbert. Amen. You know what? When I got birthed into the family of God, I was given a new name. I was given a new life. I was given a new identity. That's why they started calling them Christians first at Antioch. Amen. Because they identified with who they were now. Amen. The problem is most Christians today, they try to hide the fact that they're a born-again, Bible-believing, Bible-toting, God-fearing Christian. Amen. They're ashamed of it. They're not proud of it. Mary was proud of Jesus. Mary was proud of her son like you are proud of your children. Are you as proud of Jesus as you are your children? Are you as proud to be a Christian as you are a mother? Are you as proud to be a Christian as you are a father? Amen. We should be. Amen. We should be honored to be able to carry the blood-stained banner into a lost and a dying world. We shouldn't be ashamed to stand up and profess our faith and say who we are. And what would I tell you what, I did it at work. I wasn't ashamed to do it at work. My boss's boss is sitting back there. Amen. And he done got a promotion, didn't he? Amen. Look at that. I wasn't ashamed. He knew I was a Christian before I left work. I told more than one person I was a Christian. I wasn't ashamed of it. I had to sit in a meeting with a fellow that was just below the vice president of engineering one time. I had to sit for 2 or 3 days in a meeting with him. And I counted it. That man couldn't speak 3.5 seconds without taking the Lord's name in vain. And I told them, I said, I don't have to listen to this. I'm not listening to it. I said, if I was black and he used a derogative term, I wouldn't have to do it. If I was a woman and he used a derogative terminology, I wouldn't listen to it. A man in your position should be able to speak better than that. Amen. More intelligent. I'm a Christian and I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Christian. And I kid you not. For the first 2 hours, we sat there and listened to him before we had our break. He could not speak 3.5 seconds without taking the Lord's name in vain. And I told him, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian, and I want you to know something. That offends me deeply. That offends me, just like racism would efface someone. Just like sexism would affect someone. That affects me deeply. He didn't like it. Next time I sat in a thing I had to sit to and listen to this guy, I never heard him one time take the Lord's name in vain. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm a Christian. Amen. The world has us to believe well in the workplace. That's not a place for it. I'm a Christian at work just like I'm a Christian at home. I'm a Christian at work just like I'm a Christian in school. Amen? I know I'm not in a church service and I know I'm not listening, but my land's that I don't have to sit there and listen to a barrage of something that if anybody else found something offensive, they could speak up their mind. I'm not afraid to hand out a tract when I go to the restaurant or to just stop and invite somebody to church because you know, I see them in a store. Ain't that right, Sister Connie? Hey, man. Sister Connie just struck up a conversation with a woman in the store the other night, invited her to the lady's mother-daughter's banquet. She come yesterday. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Christians, we should be as proud of Jesus as Mary was as proud of Jesus. We should be as proud to be Christians as Mary was proud to be his mother. Look down in Matthew real quick. We'll go on. Try to finish up here. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 and 48. While they yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. And then said one unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Mom, sometimes you ever feel that your kids have grown up in life and they've gone on and they've just left you and they have no time for you. They're too busy for you. Life has just moved on and life has got so... Life happens. Life happens. Mary, the waiting mother. The waiting mother. I was trying to find a good word to describe what happens when your kids grow up and they're going on with their lives and they've done moved out of the house and they've done started their own families and they're living in and their life goes on and you wonder, man, when are they ever going to stop by? Mom, ever feel that way? When are they going to show up? Wonder why I don't see them. Don't ever stop waiting. Don't ever stop waiting. You know, the prodigal son's father never stopped waiting for him to come home. Jesus' mother never stopped waiting for the opportunities to spend time with him. There's times in our lives when we got to learn to wait. And sometimes one of the hardest things we have to deal with is waiting on Jesus. Waiting on Jesus, a loved one sick. Why isn't he healing? Why isn't he doing what I think he should be doing when I think he should be doing it? Learn to wait on Jesus. Amen. Our children are in trouble. Our children are struggling. Why aren't things changing? Learn to wait on the Lord. What did Isaiah say? They that wait upon the Lord. Amen. We can rush out and we can try to do things our own way. Look what that got Abraham and Sarah. Amen. Look what that brought them to. We can try to deal with it rationally. Look at where Jacob wound up. Amen. We could try to manipulate and do all these things ourselves. But when we learn just to wait on Jesus, to be patient, and know that he still has our best interests at heart, to know that he hasn't forgotten us or forsaken us. But sometimes we just need to learn to wait. We need to take Mary's example. Jesus was in the middle, in the height of his ministry here now. Multitudes were thronging about him. And Mary had to learn. Sometimes you just got to wait. Jesus isn't too busy to handle every problem in every life at the same time with no problem. But sometimes we need to learn, we need to know that we got to wait on him. We wait for him to move. We wait for his time. We wait for his purpose. We wait to fulfill his plan. And we can ask for no better thing to be done. John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his home. See, Mary, the hurting mother. Can you imagine how heartbroken Mary was when they took Jesus and they scourged him and they beat him and they abused him and left him beyond recognition? Can you imagine what it felt like to watch your son bear that old cross on the way to Calvary and to carry it to all the way up Calvary's hill and to lay it down and watch them old Roman soldiers throw him down and drive the nails through his hands and through his feet as they set that old cross up in place? Can you imagine the agony that went through Mary's heart? She was told that her own heart would be pierced. Can you imagine how Mary felt? Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been there, to watch your own child, innocent, suffer the way that Jesus suffered? Friend, I want you to picture Jesus today. I want you to picture this mangled body. The prophet said his visage was marred more than any man's. Nobody had ever been tortured and abused in the manner and in the way that Jesus. He wasn't even recognizable. You see the picture of the crucifix and this Jesus hanging on it, and my, don't that look like a total lie compared to what my Bible says. His visage was marred more than any man's. He suffered like no one ever suffered. He died like no one ever died. Because he died that way. And he suffered that way. Because of you. You and you and you. You and you and you. You, you and you and you and you and you and me. That ought to make us stop and realize that every time that we sin, every time that we reject his word, every time that we go against his will, we're responsible for the suffering that he suffered. That ought to make us hurt so bad that we would flood the altars asking for his forgiveness. We'd flood the altars just to thank him for suffering in our place. We thank him for doing what he did so we didn't have to. So that one day we could have hope. Acts, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brethren. Acts chapter 1. After Jesus departed on the Mount of Transfiguration, When he departed to go back to the Father, he departed leaving hope. Hope of eternal life. Hope that death and hell and the grave had been defeated. Hope that each of us could, man, Mama, isn't it good that you got hope for your children? Your children don't only have this life, but if you teach them about Jesus and bring them to Jesus, they have hope of eternal life. Amen. Isn't it good to know that we can have hope? We can die in hope. Paul told the church there in Thessalonica, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, as these that have no hope. See, apart from Jesus, there was no hope. But with Jesus, we have all the hope in the world. As Mary seen her son resurrected from the dead, as Mary seen her son ascend back into the heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father, as Mary walked away that day, she had hope. She had hope. How about you today? Do you have hope? Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus? Have you surrendered your heart and life to Him? Have you committed yourself unto Him? Do you think about what life would be like apart from Him and with Him? Apart from Him, there's suffering and torment in a place called hell. But with Him, there's the joys of a home that's prepared for you. Are you proud of who you are? In Christ or outside of Christ? Because apart from Christ, the only thing you have to brag on is this life is all you have. Because when you leave this life, you'll go to a place that the Bible says is that place of pain and suffering. But in Him, you have hope. In Him, you have everything. As we stand to our feet this morning,